Good afternoon and welcome to today's edition of It Ain't Easy Being Green. I'm Rosemary Anderson and I'll be your host for the next half hour. We've got a treat in store for you today, the world premiere of two radio dramas, Burrowing and Character Development, written by a couple of mighty talented students at the University of British Columbia. Professor Brian Wade of UBC's Creative Writing Program is with me in the studio, together with guests author Aaron Schneider and actors Anais Basmajian and Glenn Nelson. Welcome, everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Now, the person who first recommended that we consider the play Burrowing for broadcast was Brianna Brown. She's to join us shortly. Brianna works with Professor Wade in a variety of theatrical endeavors, including assisting in his stage play and radio drama course. And I asked Brianna what it was about Burrowing that caught her attention. She told me that what she loved about this piece was the combination of humor and heart. She was also struck by the specificity of the dialogue, which, she says, creates a real sense of place and character. Brianna adds that the characters' actions are a bit bizarre, but their intentions are earnest, and we want them to succeed. Enough said, time to delve in.
Today, for your listening pleasure, we bring you Burrowing, a radio drama written by Chris Evans. In Burrowing, Bob arrives at a deeper understanding of his girlfriend, Janine.
That's a good question. I guess it all started after our business, Muffin Zone, closed. I was starting to get really worried about my girlfriend, Janine. To be honest, neither of us was doing too hot. Mostly just wandering around the house in our bathrobes, eating hot dogs and drinking vodka and sevens. But Janine really took it personally. Like it was her fault that the economy died and everyone got so insecure about being fat and didn't want to eat butterscotch streusel muffins anymore. It got so bad that she stopped opening the curtains and was smoking a pack of matinee menthols a day. She had put her heart and soul into those muffins, and when it was all yanked away from her, it left this big hole that I didn't know how to fill in. Anyway, we're sitting around one night, about 4 hours onto a Nature Channel marathon, when this documentary about burrowing owls comes on, and Janine totally perks up.
Oh, look at the burrow owls. I just love them. They were all over the place when I was a kid. There used to be a family of them living under the porch at my Nana's place down in Del Bonita. I used to ride my bike out to see them all the time. Right up until the tornado in 86 took the porch off. They have the coolest yellow eyes.
Yeah, you don't see them much anymore. Did I tell you about how Cousin Mikey told me that his buddy Pete set up his animal sanctuary down in Montana so he could get money from the government or something?
Do you think he's got some owls? We should go and see. Can we?
Janie, honey, as God is my witness, I will find you some owls. So, the next morning, I call Mikey, who calls Pete, and next thing you know, we're in the Nissan, and we're going through the Sweetgrass border crossing, and we're driving down to Dumont to meet Pete. And I'm hoping like hell he's got some owls, and the fog will lift, and Janine will be happy and stop sighing all the time, and everything will be right again.
Howdy, folks. Micah tells me you're interested in seeing our western burrowing owls. Right this way.
There they are! There they are! Oh my god, they are so cute!
Okay. Slow down there, man. They don't really like sun movements or screaming particularly.
Sorry, Pete. I'm just excited. Oh, Bobby, look at them. They're just adorable with those big eyes. Couldn't we take some home with us?
That's crazy talk, Janine. They are cute, though.
We've got lots of other animals, too, if you're interested in looking around.
Sounds good. Honey, you stay here with your owls. I'm gonna take a walk with Pete.
Uh-huh. Well, aren't you the sweetest little thing? Come closer so I can touch your feathers.
Over here, we got a white-tailed deer. Her name's Betty. The leg's pretty messed up. On the far side is old Jake, a porcupine. We found one lying on the shoulder of Root.
Listen, Pete, what are the chances I could take a couple of owls off your hands?
Oh, geez, well, this is an animal sanctuary, Bob, not a pet store. I really couldn't.
I know, but you see, we've been through a real hard patch lately, and it would mean so much to Janine.
Oh, I don't know.
We take real good care of them. We've got a nice big yard.
Hmm. Well, to tell you the truth, we're really only supposed to be caring for the sick and injured animals, and those owls have been breeding like crazy. They keep escaping and getting into the prairie dog habitat. I can hardly keep up with them, and, well, my wife Susie's been nagging me to do something about it.
So, Pete, can we make a deal? Fast forward a couple weeks. I fixed up her fence and punched some holes in the backyard with Cousin Mikey's fence post driver. The initial owl high has worn off, and Janine has started to get bummed out again, and mostly just lies in bed watching game shows, so she's not paying attention to what I'm doing. She barely goes out back anyway. There's nothing back there, except for the barbecue and the picnic table in the shed, which is mostly just filled with muffin tins now and is infested with mice. I mean, the yard is basically just a big dusty brown square with one ratty poplar, and you can't grow shit, so why bother? Anyway, one morning I tell Janine that I gotta go help my dad drywall his basement, and she just shrugs and rolls over. I hop back in the Nissan and drive down to Dumont to see Pete. Howdy, Pete.
Howdy, Bob.
All right, here's $150, as discussed. Sorry it's in Canadian.
Oh, that's fine. This close to the border, it doesn't make much of a difference. Now, you can take the owls. There's four of them here. You can take them in this old rabbit cage, which you can keep. They're pretty self-sufficient, but if you have any questions, give me a call.
Thanks a bunch, Pete. We'll take good care of them. I can't wait to show Janine. This is about the best thing I've ever done for her.
Good luck. And remember, if you tell anyone where they came from, I'm going to say you stole them.
So then, I'm driving back up to Milk River, with these little guys in the back seat keeping me company, hooting and pecking at the wire. Just before Coos, I pull over and put the cage in the hatchback and cover it with a sleeping bag and hope to hell that it's Brenda or Marty at the border and not Ike or the Mendelssohn kid. Sure enough, it's Marty, and he says he was real sorry to hear about Muffin Zone and that Janine and I should come over this weekend for some steaks. He waves me through without asking me a thing. When I get home, I take the cage around back through the side gate and cover it with the sleeping bag. Then, go back around and in through the front door. Janine's in the kitchen, wearing my old sweatpants and making eggs.
You want some eggs, Bob? They're almost ready.
Janie, I've got a surprise for you.
Right now? But the eggs will...
The eggs can wait. Come outside. Come on, come with me. Are you ready?
I guess so. Oh my god! Oh my god! Baby!
Remember what Pete said about screaming.
Wait! Sorry. This is just so amazing.
You like them?
Oh, baby, I love them. I'm just so happy right now.
I don't own no big estate, no fancy farm. With a wrought iron gate or a mansion with a big old pretty view.
That afternoon, we pull a couple of lawn chairs out from under the porch and sit and drink beer and watch the owls run around. That night, I get the first sex I've had in weeks, and in the morning, Janine's baking muffins before I even roll out of bed. The next couple of weeks are awesome. I pick up a few shifts at Ray's Electric, so we finally have some money coming in. And Janine opens the curtains and starts cleaning up the house again and starts smiling all the time. I feel like I'm in control again and love watching her out there with the owls and remember how pretty she looks in the sunlight and hope this feeling sticks. The owls seem to be settling in nicely and have taken care of the mouse problem in the shed, which is great because neither of us like going in there in case we got the hantavirus from all the mouse turds. The only problem is that they're really noisy at night, screeching and carrying on. Fortunately, our bedroom is around the front, so we can't really hear them, and our only neighbor is old Edna next door. who's a million years old and practically deaf. But then one night, someone is banging on the front door, and it's this guy who says he's Edna's son. He's in town from Saskatoon, staying with her for a few weeks while she recovers from cataract surgery, and the owls are keeping him up, and do we have a permit for them? I play dumb, but when Janine hears about it, she gets all nervous and frantic. We spend half the night tacking blankets up on our side of the fence to make it more soundproof. It seems to do the trick, because a few days later, we haven't heard back from him again. That Sunday is Canada Day, so Saturday night we plan to have a barbecue. Cousin Mikey is bringing over his famous potato salad, and Janine bakes a big cake with a maple leaf on it, and I buy the good smokies. We're setting up the barbecue and cleaning the owl shit off the picnic table when we hear someone coming up the side path.
Oh, you're not Mikey. Can I help you?
I expect so.
I'm with Milk River Animal Control. Name's Ocean. I understand you're keeping unlicensed owls.
Oh no, you don't understand. We need these owls.
So it turns out that Edna's dirtbag son reported us after all. Ocean spends the afternoon digging up our yard and caging the owls. When asked what she's going to do with them, she says maybe the Calgary Zoo will take them, or else she knows a guy named Pete down in Montana who runs an animal sanctuary. Afterwards, I'm looking at Janine, and she looks so dejected and lost, and I love her so much and would do anything for her, and I realize that owls were the wrong thing to try and fill the hole with. And that's when I figure out what I should have done all this time and blurt out how maybe we should just get married.
When the stars line up and you get your good break, people think you're lucky, but you know it's grace. It can happen so fast, or a little bit late, and time is everything.
So, long story short, we're on our honeymoon, and that's what brings us to West Edmonton Mall, and thanks for asking. I'll have the Maxi Fries, and what do you have on tap?
You've been listening to Burrowing. The part of Bob was played by James Paley. Janine was played by Hannah Vartnew. Pete by Glenn Nelson. And Ocean by Rosemary Anderson. Burrowing was written by Chris Evans and produced and directed by Rosemary Anderson at the University of British Columbia. This program was made possible by the UBC Creative Writing Program in cooperation with CITR Radio. I'm Dylan Jones. Thanks for listening.
Fun. Glenn, you played the role of Pete, and you did a fantastic job, by the way. Have you acted in radio before?
No, I've acted on stage a couple times, but this is my first time on radio, and it was a good experience. I didn't really know what voice to go with, but it just kind of came naturally.
It was really good. Thank you so much. Now, Aaron, we're about to listen to the play that you wrote, Character Development. You suggested we might like to use the 13th Hour by Midnight Syndicate for the mood music in the play. Without giving away any spoilers, I'd like to say I think this was a very good suggestion. Listeners familiar with the 13th Hour may recognize bits of the tracks Time Outside of Time and Grisly Reminder running beneath the dialogue through most of the second scene.
Today, for your listening pleasure, we bring you Character Development, radio drama written by Aaron Schneider. In Character Development, Erica pours herself totally into the writing of her first novel, a book about vampires. The project is as all-consuming as giving birth to a baby.
Oh, What can I get you?
A tall 3-shot white mocha, please.
All right. 480, please.
Erica?
Oh, hey, Tina.
Bring your coffee over and sit with me. You feeling okay, Erica? You look kinda dead.
Wow, thanks, Tina. We totally need to hang out more.
Seriously, you look like you haven't slept in weeks.
I've just been busy. Hey, give that back!
Jeez, what is this? Espresso and desperation? Are you pulling an all-nighter?
Maybe. I'm on the last push for the book.
Ooh, the vampire one?
Yeah.
Good. When you're Stephanie Meyer's 2.0, remember to invite me to the movie premiere.
It's not that sort of vampire book. The vampire's a girl, for one.
You're writing a lesbian vampire teen romance? Awesome!
No, it's more 30 Days of Night meets Dracula meets Proper Lady Monsters.
30 Days was the one with Ashton Kutcher, right?
Yeah, 30 Days was the one with Ashton Kutcher.
I really like him. You coming from the library?
Yep. Turns out I wasn't quite finished with Life's Blood, the vampire's symbol.
Sounds fascinating. Hey, does that guy you like still work at the library? I'm taking that as a yes. So spill.
Nothing's going on. Sorry to disappoint.
You realize if your love life wasn't pathetic, I'd be less likely to compare you to Stephanie Myers.
Isn't she married?
Which isn't much of an argument for how bad your love life is. Besides, she based Edward off her creepy sex dreams. Pathetic! You guys are at least at the small talk and smiling at each other between shelves stage, right?
No.
You've been using the library like it's the only place you get Wi-Fi for the past month. At least tell me you're on a first-name basis with him.
I know his first name.
Oh my god. Erica, you're being dysfunctional. You're cute. You think he's cute. Why aren't you two being cute at one another?
Tina, it's not gonna happen.
Why not?
Because every book I've rented for the past 3 months has been on vampires, serial killers, or abnormal psychology. I'm just happy he hasn't tried to have me arrested.
That's true. And really sad. You'd better make $1 million.
I'd settle for someone other than me and the rejections department reading it.
Anyway, since you've been in self-induced seclusion for, like, ever, let me catch you up.
Actually, I should probably get going. Last push and all.
Right. The book. Remember, breathe through it.
It's not like I'm
Don't say it's not like having a baby. This thing is your brain baby, and you're in the last stages of an increasingly creepy brain baby labor. Mentally speaking, you're like 12 centimeters dilated.
Oh, God, please stop talking.
Fine. Hey, call when you're done. We'll go out.
Sure, good idea.
I mean it. The second you're finished, call me.
I will.
Good. I'm tired of sharing my best friend with an imaginary vampire.
See you later.
Remember, deep breaths and push.
Goodbye. Gross. Gross. Gross! I don't need thematically appropriate weather. Okay, let's get this thing done. Kill the brothers, get everyone to Seattle, and type out the end without falling into a plot hole. Great, I can do this. And for some mood music... No, nope, no! I'm literally... 3 pages off. I'm just about to send my hero gallivanting off into the sunset. Fine.
Nice to meet you. Ah!
You cannot be here.
That is silly.
No, you don't exist. I made you up. For a story.
And now it's my turn to tell one. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Once upon a time, there was a girl who wanted to write a story about a vampire. A fascinating one. Charming, sardonic, ruthlessly predatory. And this girl writing the story, oh, she did so very well with it. Captured just how good, if disgusting, feeding is. The hunger. She caught all of it so nicely. Anyways, this girl worked so hard on the story, fed it all her time and energy. She spent the summer inside, missing calls and connections to bring her story and, inadvertently but more importantly, me to life. And now, well...
And now what?
And now you're almost done. 3 pages off and ready to send your hero gallivanting into the sunset.
Are you here to make sure I finish your story?
No. You finish, and you're done. You'll go back to your pathetic life. No more hours in the library where you incubated me out of books. No more late-night strugglings to put my words on your pages. You'll stop feeding me.
I never fed you.
Of course you did. Haven't you been listening? All that time, all your thoughts and energy, the only way you could have fed me more is if you'd slit your wrists and bled out onto the keyboard. Do you know what it was like, having to claw my way into existence, to give some twitchy little shut-in all my thoughts and hungers, just so I could breathe on my own? Oh, shut up. It's very simple. Your fear's just making you stupid. You created me while you wrote, and as long as I'm just your story, I've got an end. Because that's how stories work. I'm taking steps to remedy that.
No, you're just made up. You can't...
I can't what?
Be real. Exist.
I can. I will. I want to.
And I wanted a Hogwarts letter when I was 11, but that doesn't mean
I'm
you...
I'm more proactive than most. Now hold still and this won't hurt as much.
What, are you gonna kill me?
Yes.
But you said you'd fed off my energy. You need me to survive.
Oh, hardly. This is just the step to solid food. It's understandable to be anxious, though. Most parents are. I meant it about holding still. Messier than I thought it would be, but definitely one hell of a rush. Ah, here it is. You said something about going out.
Oh my god, Erica? You finished it?
Well, I'm finished with it.
Congrats! Where do you want to go?
Oh, anywhere. I just want to be out in the world.
You've been listening to Character Development. The part of Erica was played by Alyssa Wu. Tina was played by Caitlin Waterman. The vampire by Anais Basmajian. And the barista by Chen Chen Wang. Character development was written by Aaron Schneider and produced and directed by Rosemary Anderson at the University of British Columbia. This program was made possible by the UBC Creative Writing Program in cooperation with CITR Radio. I'm Glenn Nelson. Thank you for listening.
Storyline, lovely little twist in the plot, and just enough of a mix of foretelling and surprise. Well done, Aaron. This truly is the world premiere. In fact, even the authors have not previously listened to these plays. You were with us for the actual recording of this play, Aaron, but we've done a few things to the play since then. Can you describe how it feels to hear your radio drama as a finished product for the first time?
It's supremely awesome. It was really great hearing it recorded, but you don't get a whole sense of it or how great the voice actors were. They did so well. I'm just really pleased.
Excellent. Anais, you mentioned to me earlier that you've acted in a few plays before, but I believe this is your first radio drama and your first time being cast as the villain?
Yes, actually. I have performed on stage before, but what I've been told many times before is that my voice doesn't match what I look like, so I thought radio would be a cool opportunity to show that. And playing the villain was a great opportunity because I think villains are way more interesting than the hero.
Hopefully you don't feel that way in real life. Professor Wade, you've written extensively for radio for in such shows as Morningside, one of my all-time favorites, Nightfall, Vanishing Point, Stereo Theater, and Sunday Showcase. Would you like to comment on the radio dramas that we've listened to today?
Yes, I would. Thanks, Rosemary. I've prepared a little speech here. I may have a few page-turning noises here. Anyways, today, I think it's fantastic to hear these shows. It's a day for celebration for Chris Evans and for Aaron Schneider, the two authors. It's a day to celebrate for all the students in my Creative Writing 217-477A class who took on the roles for these radio plays. And above all else, for you, Rosemary, a Creative Writing MFA student who produced and directed these exceptional shows. It is also a day to celebrate a new partnership between CITR and Creative Writing. Without their support, these shows would not be on the air today. So on behalf of Creative Writing, I want to thank CITR. Okay, one more page here. Okay, finally, it is a day to celebrate radio dramas as an art form. Around the world, radio drama is a vital and unique genre that reaches out on a daily basis to tens of thousands of people. Here in Canada, the radio drama studios have been shut down by the CBC. The only way to produce radio drama is to do it yourself, which is what we have done today. Let's hope we can do some more shows like these in the future. Thanks for listening.
That's great. Thanks so much, Professor Wade. And thank you, all of you, Glenn, Anais, Aaron, and Brianna, who's also been able to join us. Thank you for sharing your talent and for joining me in the studio. To the authors and all of the actors, congratulations on a job well done. This has been It Ain't Easy Being Green. I hope you'll tune in again at the same time next Friday, January 25th, for another half hour of exciting new radio drama. You're listening to CITR Thunderbird Radio, 101.9 on your FM dial and CITR.ca on the World Wide Web. I'm Rosemary Anderson.